Thanks for downloading the show. This week we have Steve Kilby of The Church and Kilby Kennedy. We have Tara, Maria, and Steven from Ella Atlas in the second half of the show. The first song you heard tonight, that was a sample of the new Third of Never song, 18 Strings, from their album Austerity. And as the show progresses, we're going to hear music from the new Church album, Man, Woman, Life, Death, Infinity. And we're also going to hear music from the new Ella Atlas album, The Road to Now. Without further ado, here's Steve Kilby.
I got a lighted candle for you, so you can see yourself in the dark. I gotta get a handle on you, and no hand will leave you. Get directions off you. The mirror flare could be anywhere. The night is a liar, overthrow the tyrant.
Songs such as Another Century and Submarine, I love those songs, and I'm curious how they I know you guys get together and write as a team, but did they start as a chord progression? I mean, those are very layered. They sound intricate. They sound like they're intricate in structure. How were songs like that put together? How did they start?
They sort of came together in different ways. Another Century came about. There's an instrument called an omnichord. Have you ever seen one of those?
Yes.
It's like a, you press down a button and it plays chords. So I made up the chord progression on the omnichord, and that's the main sort of keyboard thing you can hear playing. And then when the progression was kind of down on tape, we all kind of just jammed along with it, and people kind of build on it and sort of add to it. Submarine was really the opposite. It was me sort of strumming the six-string bass, just putting down sort of like 5 minutes of chung 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 chung, and then come back and everybody starts to kind of overdub on that. And then sort of going back over the best bits of the jam and sort of cutting it up a bit and putting it back together. Other songs were kind of, we wrote sort of spontaneously. Everybody at once would sort of just pick up their instruments and start playing. So we sort of, you know, just a riff or a little progression or something, whatever it is, we kind of just jump on it. And once we've got it, then we sort of elaborate on it.
On Submarine, what is the guitar effect or pedal or technique that gives it the feel of almost like you're hitting a chord or a note and then it like pulls backward before it ends? What is that?
That is not my department. I'm just a bass player. I don't know exactly what they were doing to get that sound. No, it's a great sound though. It's like all the guitar sounds I've ever heard. There's one I haven't heard before. That sound you're talking about. It's great. That's what, you know, when I heard that sound, I'm like, great. Let's just keep working on this. This is fantastic.
I would love to hope that there's like a 20-minute version of that song somewhere.
Oh, probably longer. Somewhere, yeah.
Thank you.
Vocal melody strictly up to you, or is that kind of a group thing also?
No, that's me. What happens, it's like a really funny process actually, it's kind of amusing. We write the music and we work on the music and get the music ready, and then they send them all to me and I'm supposed to do homework working on them, and I never do. And then I go in the studio and one day, and Tim's usually the one, Tim the drummer, who's usually sort of running things a bit. He goes, right, time for you to sing this song today. And I say, how long have I got? And he says, I'm setting up and I'll be ready for you in half an hour. So what I would usually do is go and sit on my own, smoke a joint, listen to the track through headphones and just knock out the lyrics. Like, because that was it, I had to sing it. So I can't procrastinate anymore. I've got to come up with the fucking lyrics, and I haven't got very long either, so I just smoke a joint and I open up my mind and I start just the first line that comes into my head, the first lot of words, and then it just all opens up from there. And then I go and sing on it, and then Tim usually does the vocals with me. We get some ideas. Tim will go, why don't you change this melody a bit here and sing this instead of this? So sometimes we modify the lyrics, sometimes we modify the melody a bit, but it's sort of pretty much 90% what I kind of come up with. I sort of come up with it really quick. People watching it can't believe that I'm doing it. It's a sort of, I take it for granted now, but I can just sort of like, I can come up with songs, come up with all the lyrics on this record were all written within like 5 minutes. If I haven't finished within 5 minutes, I'm going, what's wrong with me? You know what I mean? Sometimes I'm writing as fast as I can to keep up with what's being dictated to my mind. And it's like I tune into this place where the lyrics are, and the great collective unconscious or the muses or whatever it is sort of goes, here are the lyrics, you better write them down fast or you're going to forget them. I'm sort of sitting there going, trying to get it all down. It's quite a mystical process. I don't know where it all comes from. I sat down last night and had a smoke and listened to the album, and I really wondered, where did all that fucking music and words come from? Because I can't remember thinking any of that up. You know, it just sort of all, the whole thing, just all the music and all the words just sort of fell out of the sky as far as I'm concerned. And that's the way it should be.
It seems to me, I'm going to be fanboy for just a second, and then I'll try to be professional in a second, but it seems like It seems like this album and the previous two, to me, are like the best albums you've ever made. Is that a stupid thought?
No. I think Untimely we really hit a new high. I think Further Deeper, we hit another new, and then with this album is so crystal clear and concise. There's no long rambling songs on it. It's no epics. It's just kind of like 10 sort of weird pop songs. So I think this is something sort of different for us to do. I just think everybody's playing better and we're just getting better with age. I mean, that's the way it should be. You know, like an artist in his 60s and 70s and 80s, if he can survive that long, you'd imagine he'd be doing the best paintings of his life. I don't see why it can't be that like that for musicians as well. I can't see why guys who have been playing, like Peter and I have been playing together over 40 years, we should be good by now, for Christ's sake, you know? So, yeah, thank you. Yeah, no, I do think this is some of our best work. I still think Priest Equals Aura was a bloody great album as well.
It's a great album. It's just, and I don't know why, maybe it's just me, but for me, I listen to all of your albums in a... from time, just whatever mood I'm in, but something about Forget Yourself and Everything Forward seems to be what I played to death the last year or two.
Okay. Well, I love to hear that. Of course, I'd rather people like what I'm doing more now than what I was doing then. Otherwise, I'd feel like a bit of a failure if it was sort of generally agreed that what I did then was better than what I do now.
And I don't think it's so much which is better or worse. This is just, even if you say it's just as good in a different way, I mean, I don't know how you would word that properly. But so my next question was about the lyrics, but you said all the lyrics were basically written on the spot. These weren't from notebooks. You just kind of made them up on the spot.
No. In fact, some of them were written, I actually wrote before the song came along. I wrote the lyrics to that, and I wrote the lyrics to Forking Knife without even having the music. And then when Tim would say, okay, it's time to sing this, I found that the songs miraculously fitted in with those lyrics, and I could sing those lyrics to those songs. Not really. There was a notebook in the studio, and sometimes, as I said, sometimes when they're working on other things, I just start jotting down phrases. But it wasn't like from an old notebook that I've been sort of, that's been germinating for years. It's all pretty, everything that you hear on here came around the same time.
And to date, how many songs from the new album have you been able to work into your live set?
We've got four. We've got, I don't know if we're going to, I think that's going to be enough. I don't think people want to, you know, we've got at least 26 albums out, probably more, depending on how you count them. And I don't think, because of that, when we do our live shows, I don't think people want us to just play new stuff.
Right.
I mean, we did that when Further Deeper came out. We went around Australia and went Further Deeper, but that was more to introduce Ian to the fans and say, this is Ian Hogue, and, you know, this is an album we've made together. But now they know who he is, and they sort of gotten used to him. I think four is enough for this album. I don't think we need more than four.
When you still have, I'm assuming you still want to promote the previous album a bit also.
Yeah, of course we do.
In the past, you guys have released some really nice improv albums or had bonus discs. A lot of jamming was edited down to like a 1 hour track. Is there any of that in the works to come out, or is it too soon for that kind of thing?
It's all there. Whether anything will happen with it, I don't know, but there's loads and loads. There's like, we wrote 40 pieces of music or something, so there's loads of stuff there. There's even song there that didn't come out, but you know, whether it will come out or not, I don't know.
Fly makes a honey man flee, saw. Sky makes a money man flee, saw. Lie makes a funny man flee, manslaughter. Crack makes a low boy ache faster. Flack makes a slow boy shake faster. Slack makes a show boy break his master. Fly makes a honey man beat sword. Fly makes a honey man beat sword. Fly makes a honey man beat sword. Funny man, that's Lord. I can see the world. Crack makes a low boy ache faster. Flack makes a slow boy shake faster. Slack makes a show boy break his master. His faith is a monster. You wanna take the rest of the stuff? Well, everybody said we can never get enough. Coming closer, a blind man's blood. That's rough, I can tell you it's rough. You want all your love off the cuff. Coming closer.
The last time we did a podcast, we were talking about your Painkiller album, and you said that there was a few hours of that material left over. I know you've got a lot of stuff going on, but is there any chance of any more from those sessions coming out at any point?
It seems to have disappeared. I mean, that stuff is still somewhere. I had it all on an iPod, and some rain came in and ruined my iPod. And my computer blew up, and now I've lost it all. So, but Tim's still got it somewhere. But it's like we're too busy doing new stuff, and you know, there's so much archival stuff that. The church could go on releasing, me and the church could go on releasing records for the next 10 years, you know, and never have to do anything new. But no one can be bothered sorting it out. Like, it just gets sort of left behind. Do you know what I mean?
Did you want to talk about, it's still a fairly recent release, your latest Kilby Kennedy album. I would think church fans look at that as a nice bonus that they get every couple of years also.
Yeah, I like to think church fans think all my solo records are bonuses, because, you know, it's just, obviously I'm just the same guy, just kind of setting. That's a really good album, something different, sort of quite a Pink Floyd-y, sort of musically quite a Pink Floyd-y album, and, you know, different kind of singing, different whole, you know, I'm a different character on those songs. I'm more trying to be just a voice for Kilby and Kennedy, whereas in the church it's sort of me. It's me singing these songs, you know. But in Kilby Kennedy, I may be trying to be in the sort of singing as a voice. And I like the way Martin's made my voice sort of electronic and, you know, sort of done the vocal sort of treatments on it and stuff, might have done that pitch shifting stuff. You know, so more, you know, with that sort of slightly science fiction-y kind of backdrop that he's sort of provided, it's sort of a different aspect, I guess.
Going back to your solo work and the Church, do you think your next release will be another Church album, or do you think it will be something on your own as far as whatever comes out in the next couple of years?
I've got a solo album coming up. It's finished. It's been finished sitting around to be released for about a year now. It's called Sydney Rococo. It's ready to come out. It's a real album. It's like recorded in the same studio as Man, Woman, Life, Death, Infinity. And it's got a lot of strings on it. A lot of orchestral strings, real strings. So it's something quite different.
And did you work with a notable producer on that, or did you kind of helm everything yourself?
The notable producer was me. It's the same guy that did it for Man, Woman, Life, Death. It's Ted Howard, and it's in the same studio. So it's sort of got the same, it's got a sort of comparable sound quality, you know?
Well, that's something, and that'll be out 2018?
Yeah, I reckon in the first few months it'll come out for sure, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a good record. People really like it. It's really, it's completely different to this record.
You said there was a documentary about you coming out and then one that was being made about the Church.
Yeah.
And you didn't know which one would come out, if either. Did you want to talk about those?
Yeah, the Church one never materialized, and my one is finished and has already been on at film festivals, and it's on at a film festival next week. It's a good documentary. I don't know. it could have been more than it is, in my opinion. It could have been a bit more arty. It's pretty kind of, it's a pretty meat and potatoes version of me. It's kind of like a, I don't know, there's arty bits, there's some boring bits, some old Aussie rock picks kind of pontificating on me, you know, like, yeah, Steve Kilby was a great songwriter, you know, all this kind of stuff. And the guys who, you know, some guy I did an interview with sort of 35 years ago who sort of betrayed me, him doing his comments on the whole thing, and, you know, so like, who cares about an argument a singer had with a journalist in a magazine 35 years ago, honestly, you know? Anyway, it's not a bad film. Yeah, something quite peculiar. Yeah, it's got, you know, you get to meet Corinne, who was my girlfriend who I had my first set of twins with, and you get to meet the twins, and then you get to meet my second set of twins, and you get to meet my mum, and you get to meet kind of the guys in the band, and a few of my friends, and you see me at home, you see me in the swimming pool, and you see me on road, backstage and on stage, you know, it's kind of like, I guess if you really, you know, you might as well watch one about me as any other bastard, I suppose.
When you guys put your set list together, obviously you have to, well, you don't have to, but if you're a, you know, a decent human, you know you have to pull a couple of old songs. How do you guys determine which older songs to put in the set? Is it based on what you feel like singing, or is it kind of a group grope kind of thing?
I think, I think for a start, Under the Milky Way has to go in. Mm-hmm. To not play that song is just absolutely churlish and absolutely, you know, people want to hear that fucking song. I acknowledge that. I don't blame them. And I'm happy to play it. So that one has to go in. And then we always usually chuck in Reptile. And you know what? I still love Reptile. I still love playing Reptile. I think Reptile is one of the greatest sort of second-rate rock songs ever written. It's not up there with the very, you know, very top tier, but in the second tier of great rock songs, it's definitely right at the top there. You know what I mean? It's not fucking, it's not a Beatles song, but, you know, it's after bands like the Beatles and Bowie and stuff, we're there on the second tier with a song like Reptile. It's a great song. So, then there's just usually a bit of backwards and forwards between the guys in the group, you know. Oh, how about we do this? How about we do that? Oh, no, we did that last time. You know, we got to do something different this time.
And
you know, it's like that.
Is there what this just popped in my head. This is an awful question. If it's bad, I'll just cut it out. But what period of the church is Ian most fond of, you know, before his tenure?
Oh, he likes the Unguarded Moment days when he was a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's into that. That was when he was a fan, you know, a teenage boy, and, you know, listening to the church. That's what he liked.
Were you going back to? I'm glad to hear you say you don't mind playing Under the Milky Way, because I understand it's like when the Who go out, they have to play Won't Get Fooled Again at every show. But that, I mean, I'm from a very rural part of America. I live in the middle of a cornfield. That's how. So I'm in LaGrange, North Carolina.
Oh, that'd be beautiful there.
Yeah.
That's beautiful country, though. I thought you were talking about fucking Iowa or something.
No, I'm in...
That's lovely North Carolina.
Yeah, I'm on... Yeah. If it hadn't have been for Under the Milky Way, I may have never known the church existed, because we don't have college radio around here.
There you go.
So...
There you go, okay. Well, I'm thankful for Under the Milky Way for doing the rural honours of rounding up some fans that never would have heard us otherwise. For sure. I don't mind playing Under the Milky Way. It's a cool song. It's like, you know, it's... But I don't have much more to say about it. I've been interviewed about it, and the whole fucking documentary keeps coming back and back and back. It's not really much more to say. It's like, there it is. I can't shed any more light on it, and I'm happy to play it. And I acknowledge the fact that I do have to play it. And then I happily play it, and then I forget about it until next time I happily play it. You know what I mean?
Well, and a couple of albums later, when Ripple came out, I was just as obsessed with Ripple as I was Under the Milky Way. I never understood why people didn't get as obsessed with that one as they did Under the Milky Way. But that's me.
Yeah, Ripple's a Ripple's a great song. Mm. I love Ripple. I'm pleased to hear you say that, Johnny. Mm. Ripple is a fucking great song. It really is. It's really nasty and rocking and gritty and bitching, and I love that fucking song. I'm always trying to bring that one back in the set, and they go, no, next tour. And I go, okay, let's put Ripple back in. No, next tour. You know what I mean? I really love it. I thought it could have been a hit too, but it does have a weird chorus.
Yeah. Do you foresee the Church putting out a live album or DVD anytime in the next few years?
Never. Never. No more live album.
Are they just too? Is it just too aggravating to get it to put together?
If we did it, it would be like a sort of thing where you buy it after the show, like you know these things where you go to a show and you can buy it now. You can buy the album of this show now, you know. But I would never like make our next release formally a live album, you know. That, I mean, why bother? I think studio and live are two different things, and you can do things live and you can't do in the studio and vice versa. I like doing things in the studio. Live recorded stuff doesn't sound as good in the cold light of day as on the night with all the sweat and pheromones and sort of stuff pumping through the room. I'm not a big fan of live albums. Never have been, really.
Yeah, I used to go see the Allman Brothers a lot, and you could buy a CD of your show on the way to the parking lot. It's pretty. I've got a whole shelf of them over here. Those are the only questions I had. I wasn't going to punish you with 1 hour of questions. Is there anything coming up you wanted to talk about?
No. Okay.
Deciding to make a CD, I started writing the last song on the album this last spring, in April of 2016, and then when we were like, hey, let's do this together, that was in October of last year, so really it was about, I don't know, eight, nine months from start to finish with writing, creating, recording, mixing, mastering, because we were done with it in August. So it was a Three trimesters. There you go.
Now, even in the best of times, sometimes making an album, the people who, the musicians and singers that are working on an album before it's over, even the people that love each other can usually end up wanting to strangle each other. Did you guys get through the album without wanting to push one another off of a building, or did it stay pretty calm the whole way through?
Oh, that was it all the way through. Yeah, we were constantly pushing each other from start to finish.
I don't have a mark on me, though, so I walked away rather unscathed, which is it only points out her almost amazing self-restraint, which is probably why I'm still alive.
For the most part, how did you guys write? Was it the music come first and lyrics later, or did you, what was your guys' recipe this time out?
Every song is very, very different. Sometimes I'll come up with an idea for a riff or a melody, and sometimes people come in like, hey, I have this guitar thing. So it's really 50-50 in terms of whether the music or the lyrics or a vocal melody first. Really what we just like to do is play with sounds whenever we're in the studio. And when something resonates with both of us, we kind of jump off that. So it's kind of up to the music, whichever one comes first, I think.
When you guys were, you know, starting to work together, was there a lot of overlap as far as the types of music and artists you like, or is it your what you like and Steven like wildly different?
There's a lot of overlap that I think still surprises us, and we really like to share a lot of not just musical taste, but film and other artistic platforms to kind of share vocabulary with. So we're still discovering like how much do you think a lot. So there's a lot of stuff that you know, he doesn't know about or I don't know about, and he shares like, hey, this is a cool idea for a song, or hey, have you heard of this? It reminds me of that. So there is quite a bit of overlap. I think that's kind of why we started working together in the first place. But there's still a lot that we teach each other, which is, you know, what is so exciting and also struggling. Steve was really my first, dive into the deep end, so to speak. So before this, I was, acting and singing more in my spare time. I was really focusing on theater and film. So this was really my first kind of jump into recording in a professional sense.
What was the first song you two guys wrote together?
The first one we collaborated on really was this one called Horses on the Run.
Right, for the Lovely Intangibles record.
Right, I was having trouble finishing that, and I wasn't getting much. Well, it was just bad time, and it was sort of a lot of stressful things going on. So I just figured, since she and I were already communicating and kind of talking about maybe doing something, I'm like, even though she's in D.C. and I'm in New York, I could just throw some tracks on there and see if she responds to anything. Which, you never know. She kind of came in and kind of held the whole thing out.
Well, that was probably serendipitous. That was a easy way for you guys to ease into working together instead of jumping on a whole album from scratch at the right to start with.
Yeah.
Well, it let us know that, we can communicate, we can respect each other, and we can still do something new that's for both of us. And, it pretty much spelled the death of the intangibles to me real fast.
Well, also for Ella Atlas, we have a big death.
So it was pretty much I'm going to go where this just feels better with the writing and ideas on a different level. So it kind of, turned into this, I guess, the way. It just sort of evolved very naturally.
See you.
promo is kind of just started up for the album. Are you guys shooting any videos or doing anything like that?
Yeah, we're in pre-production for a music video right now. That's coming within the next couple weeks, so we are definitely in the works for that.
We actually start shooting.
Yeah.
And which song will that be for, do you want to say?
I think Waking Up.
Yeah.
We just let the director pick the initial song.
What are your plans for the future?
Well, we have a couple of things we just get off our plate now, and then we're going to kind of try to form up a live presentation, kind of live. So I guess it'll all sort of simultaneous. We're going to record a live show and explore how to do that, and then add a couple of new tunes with the new stuff, and then figure out how to do some of the CD, perhaps strip them down a bit or something, like find something that's comfortable for a duo to do live. But it all sort of happens sort of simultaneously, especially once we get the live thing going. We're not going to stop writing, obviously, because that'll we do. So
yeah, we're writing right now, actually, because we had a couple of ideas that we wanted to just kind of get a head start on, and then simultaneously we'll be, like Steve said, you know, kind of preparing for playing live and, you know, take it from there, as it were. But there'll definitely be a new CD. I'm not sure when, but it'll probably write it faster than we probably think it will.
Yeah.
But we're always writing every rehearsal. Even when we're finishing the song, we have at least three others that are just in the wings, so, which is great, but also can be a little...
It's finding the time to get around.
Yeah, we need 9 days a week, not 8 days a week.
Yeah. So. Let people know how they can find you on the internet and on all social media. Just let them know, or if there's one place that lists all of it, just tell people the easiest way to find you online.
Yeah, so you can find us on all social media. We are on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. The handle is Ella Atlas Music, ELLAATLAS, and then music. And then on Facebook, there's actually an Ella Atlas page with all of our updates. And you can stream and download our CD on iTunes, Spotify, CD Baby, and recently now just Tidal. So we're global and, ready to take over.